Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, race fans, it's Checkers the Wrecker Show on the Speedway Anywhere podcast, blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere, as well as live in-studio video. If you're on Facebook, getting the Facebook live feed, you already know that right now. But if you want to take a look, go to facebook.com/speedwayanywhere, all one word, speedwayanywhere, /speedwayanywhere. Add yourself and follow the show, and you'll get show updates throughout the week, a little bit of speed bits throughout the week and weekend, but we're always live Mondays and Thursdays. We're your all-inclusive motorsports show podcast, and maybe some multi-sports too, usually some multi-sports too. You can also call into the show, 917-889-2053. During the live show, or interact on Facebook over here on my right side. And obviously that looked like your left side, something like that. And you can also call in though, 917-889-2053 during the live show, interact on Facebook Live, or whatever you wish. Again, that phone number, 917-889-2053. Typically live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. I'm your crew chief Q. Captain Kurt will be joining us later. It's Monday, May 13th, and we are... I got to check a message here. Yeah, good enough. We are live. Monday show live, and we'll be doing a weekend recap from Kansas Speedway for NASCAR, and then opening weekend from Indy as that progresses through Memorial Weekend for the big one to lead up to the Indy 500, as well as a few others. I got a lot to cover. Race number 12, even though my notes say 13, is in the books for the Cup Series. So that means we're halfway to the beginning of the chase. Man, time's flying. Seems like just yesterday we were in Daytona in February, waiting out the winter to begin the racing season for 4, 5, 6 divisions. So I didn't prep in paragraph everything here, but a couple of topics I want to cover before we get to Cup results and stats and truck results and stats and IndyCar results and stats is that even though it's part of the whole Cup thing, there was 11 cars sent to the back of the field from qualifying, right? Now, that's 11 of an astonishing 40 cars, which is a little above the normal entries for the race. Usually there's like 36, 37, but they made the full field of 40. Not sure if anyone went home. Probably did based on the penalties that were accessed to multiple drivers. But my point is this. Now, when you are taking 11 cars, whether it's 37 in the starting grid or 40 in the starting grid, and you are sending them to the back of the field, basically, because you disqualified their starting times. And now a lot of them will get penalties because of those disqualifications. This has gone a little too far and a lot too far. And this is not the first time this season that this has happened. So if 11 cars are getting sent to the back and you are you're having 11 guys get penalized, and a lot of them are on underfunded teams. Whether that's $10,000, $15,000, maybe $25,000, NASCAR is going to shoot itself in the foot, and the fields are going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And then to find out after the Austin Dillon debacle at Talladega, Austin Dillon was, before he even went through inspection, he was assessed a penalty when they saw that he was trying to get his rear spoiler corrected before they went through inspection. NASCAR's gone off the deep edge here. They used to have this attitude, and I understand at the time that they could do that, where it was just like, NASCAR will survive without you. Guess what? In today's current day and age, as far as auto racing goes, NASCAR cannot survive if they all of a sudden putting out 20 to 25 car fields, because teams are overwhelmed by the amount of drivers that are getting inspection fines for failing. And when it's 11 of the field, though, I know I've repeated that a bunch of times, 11 of the field, that's like, that's over 25% of the field being sent to the back. In case you're wondering, the way that it works is when somebody's qualifying time is disallowed, they put them to the back, and it's based on owner points. As far as that goes, there are some races where it could be outside of the owner points based on who got their entry application in first. So it's a whole nother story, and I want to get to it, but I didn't paragraph everything that I wanted to. There are some happy stories from the weekend. A couple of drivers are breaking out and breaking through, and I want to cover that in depth when we get to each individual division. But yeah, my favorite was one guy had three top twos, finished second place three races in a row, who hasn't had the most luck. Not that he doesn't have the talent, but he hasn't had the most luck. And it is a Chevy, if anyone's keeping track, but it was a Chevy who now has three top twos in a row. And he also finished off the day. I got to switch screens here. Sorry. Yes. 917-889-2053. But yeah, it was the Chevy of Alex Wellman. I wanted to say, like, the big story. being that he finished second in the first race that a Chevy won back at Talladega, and he took second at Dover, and now is taking second at Kansas. So it's a feel-good story. Definitely a feel-good story. As far as biggest, best, and I'm trying to keep everything positive, I think NASCAR needs to lay back a little bit on all the rules and the drivers getting sent to the back. And I have friends who are actually, a few of them are people that I started following racing with back when we were just little kids. And they're saying there's just too many rules, too much to keep track of. It's too many new rules. And, earlier today, I spoke with a regional driver, and we were discussing the fact that when a driver puts a car in the shop at the end of the year and waits for the new rule book to come out, no matter if you're in a late model, a super late, some type of hobby stock division, things like that, they're getting rule books at the lower levels where before they can even dare to turn the ignition and bring it to a tuning test or anything like that, they have to revamp that car $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000+ to make it up to spec, to make it legal for the following year's rules. Home track guys cannot afford this. And I can't wait to have him on with me, hopefully in the next week and a half. He's raced dirt. He's raced late model asphalt. He's, I remember a day back in, I'm thinking 96, 97. Where I was going to race them in the rear-wheel drive four-cylinder division, you know, the carbureted ones. And the guy that I was going to use the car from flaked out on me. But it's all over the board. It's gotten too expensive on all kinds of levels. Whether you are in the Cup Series, where they claim they're trying to save teams money, well, that's it's kind of going against the grain, right? You're supposed to try and make the sport cheaper. You're trying to make the sport a little bit more affordable. And the discussion I had earlier was that if a team even has a certain car under one rule book from, say, the Speedways in Minnesota, but then he crosses the border of Iowa and he's got to make wholesale changes to the motor, to the tires, to, right down to the braking system. Some local tracks require you to put on a different muffler than others do. And it's just, there is a way to make auto racing more affordable. That's it. And when tires get impounded after every race, I don't agree with that, and neither do the drivers, and I'm sure the fans wouldn't either. You got to leave your four tires at a track and then just put on something just to make the car roll up on the trailer. It's a lot to absorb, and I get it to a certain extent, but that's only because I follow this stuff religiously. The drivers are the ones that give me feedback to explain it beyond my own knowledge. And that's why I look forward to having some of these regional guys on. Hey, I see we have a handful tuning in. MJ, you're out there. Matter of fact, one of the drivers that I'm speaking of, he runs an asphalt late mod up here and, well, around the state, upper states. But, yeah, he raced throughout Texas earlier this year. Corey, you're checking on me and make sure I'm doing a good job, right? Sorry if I disappoint. Lisa is the wife of our bumper monster, Jesse Preston. Can't wait to have him on. Wish he'd call in tonight. Hey, folks, 917-889-2053. I would love to have just somebody randomly show up on the switchboard, too, by the way. I'm going to get into some of the Cup recap from Kansas, as well as more gossip on teams failing inspection. And I think that inspection is failing on NASCAR's part, if you ask me. But we'll get to that in a little bit. I'm going to cut to some bumper music, and hopefully Captain Kurt will join in. I'm going to check the Minnesota Twins score. You know, I'm into that multi-sport type stuff. I'll be right back. My nicotine meter is off the charts already, and it's only been, oh, I don't know. What are we? Let me check the blog talk page. We are about 18 minutes into the show, but I'll get through it as long as you guys want to put up with me. Let's see. Let's start covering some Cup results so I don't have to do so much thinking that it gets me to the point that I start getting upset. And, you know, I want to smoke more. Cup Series, race number 12 for the Cup Series at Kansas Speedway. Couple of speed bits, highlights that stick out. Winner Brad Keselowski is now even with Kyle Busch with 3 wins each this year. But it's Alex Bowman, the driver who replaced Dale Jr. in the number 88. Sorry about the hiccups. He's impressive lately. Of course, he jumped into the car after Dale Jr. And then Bowman, although winless in Cup, now has 3 straight top twos. Since Talladega. So, the number 3 keeps sticking out there in my notes because it's Brad Keselowski's 3rd win. But yeah, 3 top twos for Alex Bowman, driver of the number 88 for Hendrick Motorsports, former Jeff Gordon team, former Dale Jr. team, former Terry Labonte team, Ken Schrader team, Darrell Walter, you name it, it goes. But he led 63 laps, and that's second most to Kevin Harvick, who led the most. And Harvick ended up in 13th. Bowman ended up second again at Kansas. So Bowman has moved up to 12th in points and would be in the championship chase if it were to begin today. Based on his performance, it would be extremely surprising if he didn't get a win to lock him in instead of points leading up to the championship chase in September. Even winner Brad Keselowski did make mention of Bowman as he beat him to the line and said that Bowman will get his win soon after edging him out toward the end. Hey folks, 917-889-2053. Phone lines are wide open, and I do have to kind of keep checking back and forth. So if for some reason the switchboard doesn't pick up your call right away, you will be able to listen to the show live while on hold. So let's go deeper into the cup results. So as Bowman led up to 12th in points now, he would be in the championship chase. On the final restart, it was Keselowski, Eric Jones, and Bowman 1 through 3, right? Now, when the green came out, Jones and Bowman, Bowman in third, Jones in second. Brad Keselowski got the jump just enough, by the way, to pull away from them. So Bowman and Jones battled it out as Brad sailed away. I'm willing to bet Bowman would have easily got to Keselowski's bumper, if not pass him, if it wasn't for Eric Jones holding him back. Oh, by the way, all the while, Clint Bowyer, who finished fifth, wasn't happy with Eric Jones. He had a few words for Jones, and he gave him a nice little rub, bump, whatever, on the cool-down lap. You know, when you got Eric Jones, ends up third, you got Bowman, who had to duke it out with them for two laps on that green-white checkered, just to try and get by Jones fast enough to go and catch Keselowski. It wasn't, I don't know, there needs to be a little bit more etiquette. As the day proved, Keselowski barely led more than 10 laps. Bowman led 63. So, fourth ended up going to Chase Elliott, who led the third most laps. And then Clint Bowyer ended up finishing fifth. I still got to get the story on what was said. Apparently they're, you know, Clint Bowyer is often called on Race Hub on Fox Sports Net, Fox Sports One. The radio sweetheart does a lot of swearing and what, and thank God NASCAR finally loosened the reins on all that. But Clint Bowyer definitely had some choice words for Eric Jones. And then it was probably about the most unhappy interview I've seen after the race for Clint Bowyer. Usually he's got a joke to make in the worst of times. And no, he wasn't joking. Eric Jones is something to piss him off. Like mentioned, Kevin Harvick led the most laps, but settled for 13th. But it was nice to see Kyle Larson have a decent run for the second week in a row, finishing eighth. And Tyler Reddick finished behind him. He was impressive. Reddick, the 2018 Xfinity Series champ, came back. That's what I get for reading ahead. He came home, not back, came home ninth after his first cup start of the 2019 season. Now, he, of course, made the change over to Richard Childress Racing after taking the championship at DJR, Dale Jr. That's what I get for abbreviating. And, but yeah, he made the change after getting the championship at the Xfinity Series for Junior Motorsports in 2018. And now this year, he jumped in the now number 31 car, whatever that means, and got himself a ninth place finish. So Kyle Busch, who ended up 30th, is probably the driver most disappointed out of the usual front runners, usual suspects up in front. Kyle Busch is obviously locked for the championship chase and locked for All-Star race this coming weekend. Kyle, sorry, I'm checking the Blog Talk Radio page here real quick. Kyle is one of the best prospects going into the championship, but you can't forget Brad Keselowski just got his third win as well. So he kind of came out of nowhere. He had some okay weeks and a couple that weren't the best of those first 12 races. Another mention, Chris Buescher. Chris Buescher, who was hardly out of the top 10 the entire race, ended up taking 10th. Buescher, not your obvious choice to even bet on in the top 10, needless to say, for the win. He had a great day. I kept watching him on the ticker, and it's just like, is he going to do this? I mean, this was the day after Ross Chastain got his first win in the Truck Series as well. So, points are, at this point, no pun intended, Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski with 3 wins each. Denny Hamlin and Martin Truex Jr. with 2 each. So there's 10 wins of the year. Chase Elliott picked up the win at Talladega. And Joey Logano, earlier this year, it was either Atlanta or Vegas. So Chase Elliott and Joey Logano each have one. So there's just 6 drivers with a lock for the 2019 chase so far. Next up, based on points and points alone, Kevin Harvick leads that pack. Kurt Busch is next. Clint Bowyer, Ryan Blaney, Eric Almirola, Alex Bowman, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, Kyle Larson, and still winless Jimmy Johnson in 16th. 16th for the field of 16 at this point, with 14 races to go before the final 10 championship races begin. Obviously, 16 winners is the cutoff. So, keep on seeing people flashing in and out, and I got a couple messages that keep jumping up. More Cup Series news coming up as we talk about the All-Star race coming up this Saturday. But I want to go ahead with the Gander World Truck Series. NASCAR Gander World Truck Series is you know, the most recent, as Xfinity had the weekend off. A couple thrillers from Friday night's race at Kansas. Namely, a guy who hasn't been able to finish the job, always performs well. And another who got his first Truck Series win, but isn't running for the championship. Stuart Friesen. Stuart Friesen had led later laps and some laps in between. Stuart Friesen had a great run going, but a miscue on pit road made him leave his pit box early. He took two tires, and obviously when you're planning on fueling up your car, well, truck, but if you're planning on fueling up the truck and they dropped the jack after only two tires were changed instead of four, you only got half the fuel. So not enough fuel added. This caused Friesen to fall short and run empty with less than three to go, being followed by none other than Ross Chastain. Friesen's a common contender for wins and does rather well in points throughout the year, but that win keeps eluding him. So no such luck for Friesen. I see we got Captain calling in, and I'm going to get to him just as soon as I finish up on the trucks. It was after Friesen ran out that second place Ross Chastain made the move around him, and Ross Chastain picked up his first Truck Series win in his career. Now, Chastain is running for championship points in Xfinity, so the win scenario doesn't give him a playoff berth in the trucks. But he didn't yet have a win in the trucks, so it was an emotional win. You could hear it on his radio. You could see it in Victory Lane. And it's his second major NASCAR Series win after his win in Xfinity. Keep in mind, it was questionable if he'd have a ride after the fallout at Ganassi. Not going to go into too many details, but DC Solar and the sponsorship and the DC Solar indictments and the separation between Ganassi. Call it what you want. It's not worth repeating. Now, he's the only driver to start all three major NASCAR divisions in 2019. Now, with 29 starts between Cup, Xfinity, and Trucks, finishing order at Kansas was Ross Chastain. Second, Ben Rhodes. Third, Todd Gilliland. Austin Hill is in fourth for that one. And Brandon Jones rounded out the top five. A lot of drivers, especially those highest in wins and points, had tougher days than normal. Johnny Sauter had to settle for 22nd. The others, like Brett Moffitt, Matt Crafton, and the list goes on, fell outside of the top five and more. Sheldon Creed, too, who looked like he might be a contender in the end. I don't think he mustered up better than it was back there. Let's just put it that way. At the end, after running out of fuel, Stuart Friesen ended up 15th. Points in truck right now go to Austin Hill and Johnny Sauter, who both have a win, because obviously Kyle Busch swallowed up most of the wins, and now Ross Chastain, who's not running for points, he grabbed on as well. Grant Enfinger, based on points, leads outside of the winners. Then 2018 champ Brett Moffitt, then Stuart Friesen in fifth, make up the top five as far as point berth. Of course, the Truck Series runs eight trucks going into the final seven races through the elimination series for the trucks. The opening race to the All-Star Weekend Friday is the next race when the Truck Series comes back. So that will be the night before the All-Star race and the All-Star Open. A little bit more on the Truck Series. Angela Rook, used to be known as Angela Cope. She's one of Derek Cope's two twin nieces. Angela Rook raced on her first Mother's Day weekend as Mom Angela, formerly known as Angela Cope, she adopted a child the day before the race. That's pretty badass. So she came out and got the deal done, finished 15th, which is about, you know, it's 50-50 in the field, and that's how she got to celebrate her Mother's Day weekend last Friday. So good on her as she runs a limited season in the truck series. Not sure of other regional plans that she has, but hats off to the Rooks, and otherwise known as the Copes. Hey, I'm going to bump her out, and when we come back, we'll have Captain Kurt, and we will talk about a couple other things going on as far as Indy, NHRA, some multi-sports, and anything else that comes to mind. I got you, Kurt.
Yeah.
Right. Cheese and rice. My throat's sore, but I'll make it through. Yeah, I had a great conversation with a regional driver, and I see that one of our regional drivers that I'm looking forward to talking to at a point sometime soon is Nick Oxborough. By the way, folks, if you don't know how to join the interactive on the Facebook Live video, you can always call the studio line, 917-889-2053. I'll pick up your call, and we'll get you in on the show. The audio feed is definitely a little tricky to work out between the two shows that we do side by side on the blogtalkradio.com and the Facebook Live. I'm trying to minimize a little bit of this so I can hopefully see any messages I've been sent, because I know there was a couple and now they've sort of fell off the board. You got the Twins on?
Yeah, I don't know the score, though.
Last I saw on my Bowen. Oh, damn it. Angels went ahead. Twins did have them 2-0, but now they're Angels have 3 and we got 2. So. Yeah, we need to pick up a game or something here just so after the last stand. Let's see. I had some notes here for you. And, well, the final of the NASCAR stuff is Xfinity Series had the weekend off and will take another off this coming weekend. before they run Memorial Weekend, Saturday, May 25th, the day before the 600 at Charlotte, and then, of course, the day before the Indy 500, both on May 26th. So, speaking of IndyCar, they ran Indy in the infield. Indy in the infield. I had to be careful about articulating my words there. Indy in the infield. And it's kind of like Ollie Ollie Ox Country. But, yeah, they ran the infield road course on Saturday. Simon Pagenaud, he led the final lap and most overall ahead of last year's Indy champ, IndyCar champ, not Indianapolis winner, Scott Dixon in second. And then Jack Harvey had a great weekend. He finished third. This fifth race of the 2019 for the IRL and the drivers leading up to the 500 points are Mr. Newgarden, 2017 champ, Scott Dixon, 2018 champ. Third went to Alexander Rossi, who definitely doesn't suck. Fourth went to Simon Pagenaud. And then, of course, Takuma Sato, who has picked up a victory or, you know, whatever this year. Hey, look at something here. Yeah, once again, I missed a call, but that's okay. 917-889-2053. I will do my best to navigate both screens as I'm doing it on one computer tonight, so I can't keep the Facebook Live open as well as the Blog Talk Radio open. They're both open, but I can't see them at the same time. I got to toggle. Let's see. There we go. Now, for road course, especially in the IRL series, I got to say, 10 liters in one road course race is better than most road courses. You know what I mean? Kind of like in F1. If you get 10 lead changes in F1, that's probably the most exciting race they've ever ran. And that just doesn't happen. But I'm ready to see some ovals in the IRL. Don't get me wrong. We need some variety. And a lot of people are on board with the whole, oh, we need more road courses than this. I don't believe they do. But Long Beach was pretty much led by Alexander Rossi, you know, the entire day. But Long Beach is a much more entertaining track to watch them race on. The infield course at Indy, Barber Motorsports Park in Alabama, it doesn't do anything for me. It really doesn't. I love Florida, but the St. Petersburg road course was a sleeper. I find the street courses much more entertaining, though.
Instead I think they're a little hilly, bit more unpredictable.
Well, the drivers lose control easier than they do racing those wide open.
Yeah.
You know, what's the word I'm looking for? Elevations. You know, like Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, and then Barber Motorsports Park. It's just the drivers, to me, I think they have it easy. And I'm not saying easy as in I could do it. I'm saying it's easier for them. But I'm ready to put the cars on the outskirts the Enfield Road Course at Indy and watch them get back to some oval track in higher speeds. And then when they start to race on some ovals and just higher speed and drafting actually matters. I can't believe I just said that, but yes, drafting actually matters instead of just motor, you know, a half-assed IndyCar driver can go out there with the best motor on a road course and win it. That's why they put it on the pole. Okay? The reason they put it on the pole, they had the best motor. They didn't have the best driver. It's a matter of getting the most speed when your foot hits the floor. So oh boy, I got I'm gonna cut to bumper music here. I gotta take this call. Might be somebody that wants to get on air. Still there, Kurt?
Yeah.
All right. I just got some news. Good news. Not as great as I wanted it to be, but all right. So, let me pull up my teleprompter. I'm going to have to dump by 8:30. So we'll get a decent amount of results in here. It's only 7:48. Got a call to make. It involves a driver. I'm happy. And I'll tell you about it as soon as we get off the air.
Are you pregnant?
Yeah, we're all news. It's exciting to get the ovals going again, and because I'm not even interested in watching the road courses. NHRA, same news as last week. Funny car went to Ron Capps, and John Force still knocking on that 149th win. Andrew Hines from Pro Bike took his 100th win. Pretty cool news there, but yeah, Steve Torrance, and he's got a couple wins in a row, and Brittany Force is always right there on his heels in second. Funny car, Robert Heights, and newer contender Matt Hagen are leading the points. World of Outlaws, I wanted to tell you about that. Shots finally won.
Oh, really?
Shots finally got a win. Yes.
Hmm.
So he's, of course, for those of you familiar or unfamiliar, Johnny Shots, 2018 champion. Probably the guy when you take age versus wins versus time left in his career, he's probably the only one that can pass up the Swindells or Kinsers or when it comes to all those scenarios. So, but I'm having a really hard time concentrating on my show because my former wife just got a letter that my settlement is coming in.
Okay, we'll talk about that at the end of the show, because I know you probably want to talk about it, but
I don't want to talk about it right now. So anyways, that puts Donnie Schatz first in point now, and then Brad Sweet and Jim Pittman. So this is the first time in a little while that the Shots has led the points. So that was after Eldora, and now World of Outlaws will head to Gettysburg Pass, or did I read that right? Yes, Wednesday. So Gettysburg Clash, excuse me, at Lincoln Speedway in Pennsylvania. We'll go over more on Thursday when we cover the World of Outlaws because they're racing Wednesday, they're racing Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I don't even know what the day is after that, after how much I just read through. Arca will be back in Charlotte on May 19th. So, May 19th at Toledo, and then Charlotte, May 23rd. Points after Nashville are Travis Braden, Michael Self, Brett Holmes, Joseph Graff, and Christian Eckes.
Did you say Michael Phelps?
What?
It sounded like you said Michael Phelps, the swimmer.
Not Phelps, self.
Okay,
the show just flipped from P to PG-13. I was telling my buddy about that earlier when we were talking about an upcoming show that we're going to do together, that we never quite crossed the line of rated R, but we crossed the PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing Howard Stern-ish, but hey. K&N West Pro Series ran a doubleheader at Tucson over the weekend, Port Tucson Speedway, and that was the one after Tanner Gray and others ran on K&N East Series, where Tanner Gray got his first win in the K&N Series overall. Now, Derek Krause, he took both of the Twin 100s and is once again looking like the one to beat in 2019. So, to finish second in both those Twin 100s. No guess? It was Tanner Gray, you know, former Pro Stock NHRA champ. So he took it. Guess who finished third right behind Tanner in the first of the Twin 100?
Cool.
And our girl Haley.
Good friend. Yeah.
Haley Deegan.
Hmm.
And guess who took third? And the second one of the 100.
Was it her brother?
It was her female teammate, Brittany Zamora.
Oh. Hmm.
Danger Boy Deegan and her dad, Brian, do not race stock cars. Well, kind of, I guess. Isn't a Jeep or a whatever kind of like a stock car? Derek Cross has done really well. He's got wins in both sides of the series. And then you got Tanner Gray and Haley, who have performed extremely well in both of the series. It took me a little bit to really start to lock my head around the K&N Pro Series. So, glad to see that both series are, whether it's some one-off driver who gets a chance in like a DGR car, like Tanner. Tanner's not a one-off, but or somebody that's got a couple bucks to lease a car from a team or I think the regional divisions are going to thrive. And I talked with our future guest, Dean Cornelius, about we need more series that, you shouldn't have to make so many adjustments and changes for $1,000 in your car if you got a dirt modified that's legal at 3 of 5 tracks, but you got to spend so much money to race the other two at the 5 tracks. And, he's going to be fun when we speak about him or speak with him and what his experience is. He's been at this for probably since I first became a teenager. As far as K&N West, we got Derek Krause in first, Trevor Huddleston, who has a win. I believe he won the second race of the year up in Irwindale after Haley took the first one at Las Vegas. Jagger Jones is no joke, is in third. Haley Deegan in fourth, and then her teammate that took third in the second of the 100, Brittany Zamora, is up in fifth. K&N West comes back to Colorado National Speedway on June 8th. Let's see. I got a brief little bit here as far as regional racing. And then I want to get to multi-sports and let you take it and run. I had a great conversation, like I mentioned, with longtime regional driver who will be on the air with us soon. I am learning that many guys and gals are preferring to switch to dirt for many reasons, but financially, obviously, is the main reason. Especially they have a lot more options. Throughout the U.S. in the months, if they're willing to travel. So, I'm kind of counting down the days until the all-regional and all-shore track open this year. I know that the Ogilvy Speedway that me and Dean talked about on the phone is supposed to be a great speedway, and I'm like, oh, yeah, my daughter tells me that he can actually, Brittany, if you're listening, can actually hear the cars when they're out there running. I don't know if it's Friday or Saturday night. Hey, and that leads me to multi-sports. Anything aching at you?
Well, I was at the Twinkies game yesterday. Fun. They lost 5-3. Still glad I went. I want to say a little bit of a rowdier crowd at Target Field, though. But I'm not really upset about it because everybody was still in a good mood down there. The other thing, the Milwaukee Bucks and Toronto Raptors. I know I don't follow the NBA super closely outside the Target Center, but the Milwaukee Bucks and Toronto Raptors are in the Eastern Conference Finals, or is it the Sixers and Bucks? God, I'm kind of confused right now.
All I know is Green Bay's quarterback Aaron Rodgers looked like a fool last year, based on the Bucks.
Yeah,
and now they look great.
So the the deer are not staring in the headlights right now. So that's what I'm saying. The deer aren't staring in the headlights. But so I'm looking for the deer.
Chronic wasting disease, so whatever.
That I won't touch. I feel bad for deer about that. I don't hunt or anything, but something like that, I gotta feel bad for any animal on earth that would go through anything like that. But
I got the live feed going on from the studio, and I have pretty much since the intro to the show. If anyone realized the difference in my demeanor between the beginning of the show and then when I got that important phone call, I'm kind of doing cartwheels, even though without doing cartwheels, it's hard to use your butt cheeks because you got to sit still in the chair. And I've never seen that do cartwheels. But yeah, as far as the Bucks, you know, Rodgers got a lot of crap. And this was on a not as bad season, and then, but it was on the season that he got together with our little race car sweetheart Danica Patrick, and he just—I don't know—he started to slip. He started to slip last season, so I'm happy for him. Okay, and I'm happy for Danica. You sue them for half of the Milwaukee Bucks, right? So, all right. Anything else multi-sports? I got a little bit here.
Well, as for hockey, I'm just sitting back until the finals start. We're going to have a new champion this year, of course. That's old news, I know. But once again, a Canadian team is not going to win it. So I haven't been able to bring that up.
That's just ironic. Okay, they fired Trott. They fired Trott.
Yeah.
Trott together with this young team. And the Islanders far outlasted the Capitol with Trott.
Yep.
So there's some sweet justice there, and I don't know how often that goes on in hockey versus the way it does in football. Because I know in football, a team, once they get their wheels going, they usually hang on for a little while. And I don't know if it's the same in hockey. Obviously, you know, football is the New England Patriots, and some that float in and out and in and out. The Patriots don't always win the Super Bowl, but they get to the Super Bowl. So to have the Capitals get jumped out early, and then the coaches, new team, make it at least in that second bracket. And by the way, I think he got in there and it was a final game showdown. Of course, I follow the Trots. You know I do. I got to make fun of it when and where I can. So
yeah.
So yeah, this Hey, what about the liquor? The Bruins guy. Is he still playing for them?
I'm not sure. Oh, the Bruins are in the Eastern Conference Finals too. That's what I was thinking of. I'm not sure. He still has his leg, and right now I'm glad I am. I do too. So give me like 30 seconds real quick here, okay?
I really don't have anything to go with, but that's fine.
Oh, okay, give me 30 seconds and keep on talking. I do want to bring up something real quick, though. Okay. I didn't go to Boston. I went to Worcester. Worcester.
I'm having trouble
finding.
You think
there's any songs about Worcester, Massachusetts, instead of Boston?
No clue.
You know what would be a great thing? Though they need Boston by Dan Seals. You know Seals and Croft, that slow song about Boston. No.
Well, once upon a time, there's this band that I really liked called Boston.
Oh.
And now that there's this guy that goes up and randomly licks other people's faces from Boston, that's all I can think about. I don't get it. Hey, let's head a little bit closer to rapping. as far as multi-sports, I want to touch on the Twins and Angels thing, and I lost my backup device, which is my phone, because I got that extremely important phone call that came through. If I was a professional, I wouldn't do things like that. And
just to let people know, Quint is pregnant.
But if I was,
I'd like to know how.
If I was a professional, that would mean, you know, to be a professional, you actually got to get paid for what you do. I don't get paid. It's a labor of love. All right. WrestleMania 36.
Yeah.
It's official. Isn't that exciting?
Are we getting it?
No, it's official. It's in Tampa. I know, I was going to say that for Jesse whenever he finally shoots us a call. But yeah, all I had on the board for multi-sports is, you know, hometown team and how they're opening up tonight against the Angels. We're halfway through the game, literally at the halfway point. So 4.5 innings and 3-2 Angels. Hopefully we can fix that. Raceway Mania. Hey, Raceway Mania, there's an idea. Let me get back to you on that. And then, of course, the Trots and the Islanders beat out his old team. We already talked about that. Hey, I wanted to squeeze in a little bit here. Talking in Circles is on blogtalkradio.com/talkinginCircles. Pretty decent little lineup over there. And I kind of like how they're not skittish as far as creating a little bit of controversy, or maybe not even controversy, a little bit of honesty, and they're not afraid to do it. Myself, I try to lay back on criticizing the sanctioning bodies just in case there comes a day when I need an infield pass to do my thing. But yeah, I talking in circles, blogtalkradio.com/talkinginCircles. Also, Fan for Racing. Fan for Racing is a bunch of buddies that I made over about the last, I'm going to say, year. Great cast over there. They're a lot more serious. They're not, I shouldn't say serious. I should say they're a little more thorough on the way they broadcast. And good people, Sharon Burton, Michael J. Huseman, who's been on the show over here. Also, Andrew Lasky and Sal Segala. And you know what's funny? There's that driver named Kaz Gralla.
Mm-hmm.
I accidentally called him Kaz Segala. I mean, the name sounds similar enough, right?
Yeah.
In the Dude, Who's Your Car segment last week, Captain Kurt selected Kurt Busch. How poetic. Captain Kurt went with Kurt. And then Crew Chief Q, myself, I reluctantly went with Joey Logano, right?
Yeah.
Because he was the one that won the race last time I was at Kansas. That didn't work out. Kurt should have stuck with Chastain. Chastain finally
I thought about that on Friday night. I thought about that.
So,
you know what's going to happen? I shouldn't pick him, and he'll win the cup. He'll win the cup. He'll win the truck series. He'll win everything. Hell, he'll even win the. That's what they should do for racing. Make like the Stanley Cup of racing. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. If anyone wants to join us for final laps, because we're not going to go do the Who's Your Car until Thursday's show. Kurt won't be on Thursday. I will. And
can I say why?
We'll announce our picks. We don't care about your big bang.
Yeah, I'm going to say goodbye to, I had to say goodbye to Seinfeld 21 years ago. Then I had to say goodbye to The Office. And now I got to say goodbye to my four favorite super nerds that have entertained me. So,
I really don't give a rat's ass. Because this is the second time I've had to say goodbye to Blossom.
Nah.
So, saying goodbye to Blossom.
Nap.
I
can see a 10-year-old super nerd in young Sheldon, though, still. So I'm not saying completely goodbye to all the characters, but.
All right. So, yep. But he's gonna say goodbye to his super nerds, but he's going to be back on, like, Monday or whatever. All right. Here's one for you. Every world sport against each other. Can you imagine you put tennis players and race car drivers and hockey players and professional swimmers? You keep going down the list. Horse racers. And how would you even seed that? And would you do that as a 2 out of 3 bracket, you know, as you get down to the final sport to figure out who is the best sport in the world?
You know what I would almost guess would be the hardest? I think it would be racing. Racing,
we
I think, would be the hardest.
In certain ways, but, I mean, when you look at, like, the ride swap stuff that an F1 driver does against a NASCAR driver, oh, hell, they had the IROC series that had Sammy Swindell driving stock cars against Dale Earnhardt, you know? But yeah, how would you seed that too? That could get really complicated. I kind of used one of my final laps already when I asked you, do the Bruins still have their liquor on the team?
Yeah.
So, and that, so much for that, right? Right.
Yeah.
Here's a stack of 3. I haven't done too many stacks of 3, especially, you know, so far this year. Pigskin footballs, sheepskin sheaths, or just plain foreskin? You know you have to answer these.
Would you repeat that again?
Pigskin footballs, sheepskin sheaths, or just plain foreskin? It's all about the skin.
I'll take pigskin football. The other two kind of come off kind of creepy.
Apparently the original condoms were made of sheepskin, so I would rather go with the sheepskin.
And we liked it, as Dana Carvey said.
Oh, God, that whole, yeah. We couldn't feel a damn thing, and we loved it.
Yeah.
Okay, the show is starting to cross over a little bit to the R side, but I don't think it's R yet. All right. Tell the next one. All right. I've always wanted to do some of those stranded on desert island, what do you take with you type things, right? So you're stranded on a desert island. If you can only watch one sport, what would it be?
Oh, God. You know, I might have to say, I'm going to go out there for as much as I want to say baseball, just because, you know, you would always have something to do every single day. I might have to pick, because it is a sport, I might have to pick a fishing show because I could learn something and I could get some ideas. But
you know, I was kind of going there.
Yeah.
as far as aquatic, I don't know, learn how to surf something.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking that too. Yeah.
I mean, boat building's not a sport, so I can't bring that in. You know, I don't know. At least with basketball, there would be a chance that I could grab some palm leaves, make a basket, find a coconut, and then play the game against, and this leads me to my next point. But yeah, I could play basketball against somebody. Now,
yeah,
if you had only one player, doesn't matter who, player, driver, whatever, who would it be to be on that island with you?
Oh, God. I definitely wouldn't want to have a boring conversationalist. Oh, out of all the athletes, I might pick the best ever the world record javelin tosser. That's what I always call the javelin guys. I always call them tossers. Because maybe he'd be a great hunter.
And that leads me to my next point. Okay, you got to be careful when you choose that player because, you know, sure, you're thinking, who's going to be the tallest to help you? Who's going to be the... Would you eat that player to survive?
Oh, God. Let's see here. If I can pick any player in any sport to eat, who would it be? I don't know if I'd want to get a big fat guy because there'd be a lot of food, a lot more food, or if I'd want to get a real muscular guy so that way there's more protein.
But what
oh,
if he's
God, this one's hard.
Build huts and maybe build the boat to get off the island. Now, you have to think about this here. Would you eat one?
I'm not sure.
See, now, I'm just going to throw my hands out there, okay? Stranded on a desert island, if you could only watch one sport, obviously, I would want to learn how to surf or do something to, you know, keep me busy. But if you only had one player, I'd probably want a really tall basketball guy because, you know, he could help me get shit done around the island. Now, would I eat that player to survive? Who would it be? It would have to be... I'm going to say, of course, Jimmy Spencer would probably provide the most meat, right?
Oh, no.
But I would want it to be healthy meat, so I'm going to have to go with Jimmy Johnson or Carl Edwards. They're probably two of the healthiest guys out there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to get poisoned. Of course, they'd probably both kick my ass. Or I could fillet them. Hey, let's.
We're probably the only two, probably the only person in the world that's ever mentioned possibly eating Jimmy Spencer.
Or Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson.
All right. Let's get ready to bump out. Victory Lane. I got to go with Ross Chastain.
I was thinking that too.
He said, like I made the Ice Age reference, and he's always been that one chasing that nut like that squirrel, you know.
Yeah.
And he finally got another win. Hopefully there's more to come. He always performs great, but doesn't always finish the job. So with that, I am a few minutes from calling the bumper, and so.
Oh, can I bring up a quick idea?
What? You're killing
me. I just
want to,
people, send in who you think your victory lap should go to every week for your own selves. Send that into the show.
I found out I'm going to be buying a home not too long from now, and when I get the new studio, we will.
Okay.
We'll get that the system in place so people can vote.
Okay. We'll talk about
it. We're going to bump out Tuesday. Tune in on Thursday for All-Star Weekend preview. That's going to be fun. And we'll get the details of how that field is laid out. And I'm thinking that Ross Chastain might be one of the guys that can transfer from the Open. Thanks from Speedway Anywhere. And wherever you go, get there fast.
All right, I'll talk to you in a minute.